This is the scheduled City of Mountain Park work session for January 10th, 2024. We'll now get started. I want to thank everyone for their participation from the public side of things and want to thank everyone for their participation, commitment, and dedication to our city. Thank you. Let's see. Do we need to amend the agenda with anything? Okay. We've got some things to take care of tonight. I think we've got some appearances, some unfinished business, and some new business. And then we will be going into executive session afterwards. I guess let's do our appearances first. That would be Mark Bixby.
Yes.
To discuss his various requests for 112 Cardinal Drive.
Correct.
The floor is yours.
I'm sorry?
The floor is yours.
Oh, the floor is mine. Okay. Well, I'll tell you a little bit about us. We own the property here, so we're talking about out there since 1961. And we moved here in 1973. And certainly it has changed dramatically since then. But what my variance request is for a distance from the lake. And I think, as you may have copies, pictures of the drawings, I think we're looking to be 46 feet from the lake. I think it's saying 5 feet now, I believe it is. Okay. So we came up with a good reason why that happened. When we initiated this boring project in COVID, there was no way that we would know that we knew what the new amended 75-foot back was. So we said, well, if we pull it back beyond where the house is, we would think that we would be okay. Unfortunately, that was a mistake on our part. Then we had another issue. We actually own two lots, and the house straddles the two lots. So the two lots then had to be consolidated into one lot, which I guess if Jennifer was here, she could say how exciting that was to figure out how to do that. In fact, when I went down to the courthouse in Fulton County, downtown Atlanta, it just so happened to be the same day that the Trump situation was going on. So when I got down there, I kind of felt like a celebrity because all the cameras were out and everybody's looking around and looking for somebody to ask questions to, but unfortunately I was passed over. But that ultimately was not the place to go. Ultimately, you go here to the annex here in Fulton County, and I would like to offer my input to anyone that would like to know or that comes forward to the council or the city to have their some guidance on this, because it is very, very difficult to kind of navigate that. But then once you find out what you have to do, it's actually not complicated at all. So that was the first thing that we jumped over. Hurley guys got the two lots consolidated. And then we, of course, sent the variance request in with Jennifer. She, of course, helped us with that and got that in. And so I guess I think it's 46 to 75, is it? Whatever that is, 75, that's what we're looking to do. I think if you look at the request, I think you'll see the photos. The three people that could possibly see it, one could not. Of course, the people across the street could. And Mickey could also see, kind of. But it's on the other side of the house from him. But I think you probably saw some of the, I put little things together for them saying they didn't have a problem with that. So the people that actually could see the house, see it, they have no problem with it. So we put that up, and we're here to ask for the variance to so that we can continue and finish out this two and a half year project now.
Okay. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
You.
From the applicant side of things.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
What I'd like to do is open it up to council for any questions, and we can start with.
Yeah, I thought that you got a stop work order, right? Did you get a stop order?
Yes.
Yes. So when did you consolidate the lots, and when did you start building?
Okay, you should have a copy of that. But the lot was consolidated September 22nd of 1993. As soon as we were able to do that.
Oh, I got you.
September 7th of winter.
There's what you get to when you do the consolidation.
We have, okay, you said, we don't have a copy.
Yeah, well, that's, Jennifer does.
And when did you start building, or the addition?
Actually, the first initial part was all the way back during COVID in about January of 2021. So it was, when everybody was really closed down, everybody was bored and trying to find something to do.
So, to my recollection, City Hall stayed open. I remember because our city clerk at the time wanted to work from home and was not allowed to. So even though the doors weren't open, our code book is online.
Right.
We don't, you said something in your variance request about, we didn't have a code enforcement officer, but that's, he's not involved in the building permitting.
Yeah, see, we thought that there was one deal. But, and I'll take it a little further than that. Once we got to the point where we were actually building the building, I think Jim and Mr. Peck came by the house, and Mr. Peck came in and then advised us, hey, you need to get a building permit. And that's what initiated this.
Right.
What was also interesting is that we were his first call, and it was just, the city was obviously just back in business then, full time.
So I'm curious if what the hardship was that you had to begin the addition without a permit.
I don't recollect having a hardship other than boredom.
I don't know that that's in our code book, but I like it. Okay.
Wanda, you had a question as far as the date. I don't think you could hear.
Yeah, when did you say you consolidated the lots?
Let's see. We didn't, neither us nor Jennifer, when we were working with this, it was September 17th, 2023.
It sounded like you said 1993, which is why I was looking for clarification.
Okay. No, ma'am.
Okay.
2023.
Emily, I believe you had your hand up for some questions. No? Wanda?
Have you applied for a building permit?
Oh, yes. Yes, several months ago. Yes. And once we applied for the building permit, then we were advised that, you're in the middle of two lots. And so we said, okay. And they said, well, you have to consolidate. That's when we initiated the consolidation.
So you applied for a building permit in 2023?
No, I think...
I thought it was 93.
Not 93, no, ma'am. Well, there was one for 93, but it might have been something else. Let's see, this was 7th of August, 2023.
August 7th?
Yes.
2023,
yes.
Okay, so you started the building in January of 2021.
Yes, but this was mental stuff, like disassembling part of the house where this place would ultimately go. There was actually a deck there that's about the same size as what we were going to build in. And so we just started disassembling that back then. It wasn't something where we were structurally building the building. We were removing and preparing to build it.
So when did you start to structurally build the building?
Probably about 30 days before the first. We had as I said, Mr. Peck came by. And let's see if I can find that for us.
And I apologize, what was the date that the stop work order was issued or Officer Peck came by?
Let's see.
I'm just trying to establish a timeline.
I'm not sure exactly when. I would have it in another folder.
Okay.
Wait a minute. No, that's different. It was a yellow one too. I'm sorry, I do not have that with me.
Okay.
You see it somewhere.
Okay.
Well, wait a minute, we found it. Okay. Yes, we found it.
Okay, great.
This was November of 2022.
2022?
I think this is it, yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you.
So you had a stop work order in November of 2022, and you pursued a building permit in August of 2023?
Yes, because we could not, it was difficult to find clarification. Originally, what we wanted to do was to build a room for our grandkids that would open up onto the living room so that we could watch them. And there was not going to be any type of anything other than a room. So while we tried to get clarification of it, which is not totally clear in as I found out, if it's under a certain foot of square foot, then there's no, it's like a playhouse. But if the playhouse is attached, which this was, we were trying to, of course, get that clarified if that was indeed, not applicable for this particular building. Because it was attached to the house, which we didn't know.
So I guess you did not understand that you needed a building permit to add on to your house?
To add on to the house, but if you look at our little codes there, it says you can have a playhouse.
But that's a separate structure.
Yes,
it talks about all kinds
of
sheds and structures.
We didn't understand that as we went into this.
And did you seek clarification, to Robin's point, because there were people available in the city during COVID, did you seek clarification?
Yes, we did come down and discuss that with her.
Before you started the actual work, not the teardown.
Right.
Before you started building the structure, did you not seek clarification to understand I need a building permit before I add square footage to my house?
Well, because we were not clear of exactly how this works, because we've never done it before, our communications were with Mike Peck, and we sent him multiple requests that I have copies of here. What is the decision on this, Mike? Look, we didn't get any response back for, and we didn't know if that was normal or if that was, that was out of the realm of, it's like you should have a response back in 30 days or 60 or 90. We didn't know. We just stopped building until we got clarification. And of course, that's why it led into the next thing of the getting consolidation of the lots done, and then of course getting the request for a building permit, and then ultimately getting a request for a variance. So it's a boom, boom, boom thing.
So a building permit has been issued?
No, that's what we're here about. Because I don't think it can, because we've got to get the variance done first.
I have to clarify too, I'm sorry, because I got a little confused somewhere along the line. You started building the addition in January 2021.
No, we started tearing down to make way.
You started tearing down in 2021.
Yes, that's when we started.
Yeah, the question I had asked is when did you actually start building the room, the addition?
It was.
And you said it was on something, but I don't see it.
January 2021?
Well, he said that's the teardown.
Yes, that's the teardown.
But he said he got a stop work order in November of 2022.
Okay.
So the work had to have started before November of 2022.
It was probably, October 1st, 2023.
Is when you believe
2023 or 2022?
Let's see that. Let's start over. I'm confusing everybody.
Well,
I'm confusing me. I'm confusing me also.
Because the building started during COVID in 2021. We're just curious what month.
Okay. August 7th
is when
we did the application for a building permit.
Yeah,
August 7th.
That was of 2023.
2023.
Yeah, we want to know when you actually started the addition.
That's impressive. Right about now.
You got a stop work order in 2022. So the work had to have started before you got the stop order.
Wait a minute, let's see that.
Or at least I'm not hearing this clear.
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, it's stop work order. So it started probably August of 2022.
Okay.
It's probably when.
The addition.
Yes,
okay.
Actually.
Thank you.
Okay.
And then Wanda asked you, did you call City Hall? Did you ask them anything? Because they were certainly open in August of 2020.
Robin has been very helpful, and again, I'll have to stress that I
Jennifer?
Was. Jennifer, sorry, you're wrong.
Yeah.
She's been very helpful, but at that point too, we were still making attempts to communicate with Austin and Michael to get what the specifics were.
That's about the stop work order and what you needed to do from there.
Right.
We were trying to find out why you didn't call City Hall prior to starting the addition to find out what you needed to do.
Yes, that was a mistake, we know that. And it became a very drawn out thing with all the things that needed to be done that we had no idea about.
Okay.
Any, Robert, are you finished with your, Mark, go ahead.
So it seems to me that had you done a building permit on a timely basis, you would have been apprised of what the setbacks were and you would not have run into the situation. From precedent that we've had just a couple months ago, when a homeowner creates their own hardship, I don't think we're allowed to give variance. Brandon, would you comment on that?
Yeah, so there is language in this particular variance section that addresses that. It says variances will not be considered when, following adoption of this article, which is the stream buffer ordinance, actions of any property owner of a given property have created conditions of a hardship on that property. So based on that, I would say the fact that the work has already been started, that could not be grounds for the hardship. Now, you know, there could be grounds on the property itself that could be a hardship. You know, what I'm noticing is the entire house is in the buffer area because it predates the buffer ordinance. So, you know, I think the council could look at it potentially and find, well, maybe there's a hardship because of that. But the fact that the work has already started, that, you know, that's not a legitimate ground for hardship.
Okay.
Anyone else on council?
Yeah, I got one.
Go ahead,
I'm just curious, you guys have been here a long, long time. You've looked at the code of ordinances. Are you familiar with it at all?
No, ma'am. This is the first time I've ever been to a council meeting, and we're very apolitical. We don't really get involved in a lot of politics or anything like that. And we thought that more than likely what I looked up and was concerned with, which I now found was a mistake, was the Fulton County ordinances and what they cover. And so when I looked into that, I had, quite frankly, didn't have an inkling that Mountain Park would have separate. I thought it would be all one thing. So I did the research online to find out what Fulton County required, which is certainly different than what Mountain Park required. So, that's kind of what happened.
Okay, just curious.
Emily?
Mr. Bixby, in your research, did you happen to see anything related to the environmental impact in terms of building too close to a lake, whether it be Fulton County, City of Mountain Park, or just the environmental regulations in this area? And
yes, I think it's called erosion control, more or less. Mm-hmm. There was no disturbance of any of the ground, and in fact, the water will be is taken away from into an old when you don't have a sewer, you have a
septic tank.
Into an old septic tank field. And so that's where the water off this roof goes to. Okay. It does not go in there.
Okay.
Of course, now the lake is significantly different now than when we moved there, it's filled in. Mm-hmm. I've got some photos of that too, so I'm not sure now if we're on a stream or a lake because it's changed dramatically, obviously. I think when the big fork thing came on, the only people that were said to have been harmed by the building upstream was the cove on the harbor.
Mm-hmm.
And we have been for sure.
As kind of the spirit of what I was wondering, and it might actually be a question for you, Brandon, is whether we should be even more protective of the buffer given the proximity to the lake. Is there anything that we should know as a council?
Well, I mean, the reason the buffer is there is because of the lake, mm-hmm. right? It's the water body. So that's the purpose of the buffer is to control sedimentation into the lake and the streams. And, you know, the ordinance has criteria, which you should consider in considering any variance requests. And really, you know, I mean, this is an oversimplification, but the criteria are, what is the hardship? You know, is there a really pressing need to allow the property owner to go into the buffer area, A, and B, can you take alternative remedies to prevent the harm that the buffer is intended to protect?
I do have a couple photographs here. I'd like to present and let the council take a look at these. This is the old, the one you like to go this way.
Yeah, just if you want to share them with the mayor and then you can pass.
Sure. All right, and there's another one. This is the actual incursion now of the sediment that has basically turned the cove into a more or less a
marsh.
Yeah, more or less a marsh.
Yeah, exactly.
Not saying that that should be protected also.
So these were taken at different times?
No, they're the same.
Okay, same ones.
Did you build this on top of the pre, where the deck used to be?
Yes.
Did you put the deck back up?
No, ma'am. In effect, I would say it's more like enclosing the deck.
I have a question. I just want to make sure I've heard this correctly. The water that is hitting on a non-pervious surface, you'd indicate it's going into an old septic tank?
No, into a septic tank field.
Okay.
The home originally had a septic tank, and then of course we got a sewer when it became available.
Okay.
So this is routed now. The water that comes off of that is routed into that area.
Okay, so it's surface flow, not subterranean flow.
Yes,
okay.
But it also is totally covered with pine straw, and it's probably a quarter of an acre. It's relatively large, and the water never makes it to the lake once it goes through that system.
I think Carol had a question, but I do too.
Oh, I'm sorry, I apologize.
No, I'm good.
Go ahead.
I guess I was doing a little bit of research on the Fulton County website, trying to familiarize myself with some of this, and I found their Fulton County Stream Buffer Protection Ordinance from 2005, and it says, streams in all watersheds within unincorporated South Fulton County shall require a 75-foot undisturbed buffer. And then it goes on to talk about 75-foot in several different places. So I'm not sure. There are some comments about an additional 25-foot setback and those kinds of things. So I'm not sure where you got the 25-foot.
Where that originally came from was the original then Fulton County setbacks. Because, of course, when we built, my father built a home there, of course, they had to get a building permit at that time, I believe, from Fulton County. I'm not sure that they had to get it from the city back then, because you're talking about 1973. So in looking back over the documentation that my father had left, that's where I felt like, well, surely he would have avoided the building on within the restrictions for no reason, because there was plenty of room to adjust the house.
Yeah, it's interesting because there's a house on Magnolia that when it was built, 20 or so years ago, Scott Mill's house, the buffer, it was 25 feet.
Yeah.
And so he was allowed to build 25 feet from the stream, and
sure,
he's had to go in and do repairs to his house because the stream has shifted and he's within that buffer. And that's one of the reasons I think the buffers have gotten larger, and it is 75 feet, because you don't know where that water's going to go. And while it may be 31 feet today, it could be 25 feet, you know, in 5 years. You do not know. And I think that's why it's moved from 25 to 75 for all of that protection for the environment.
Wanda, in 10 more years, there won't be a lake, and there won't be a cove. And there's no kind of where the stream's going to be. There's a stream that comes in, but we have, you know, we're just in a sad shape as far as that's concerned.
But certainly the regulations have changed since your father
moved
back out
there. I've learned that. I had no idea about having to consolidate the two properties.
That has changed as well over recent years.
I wasn't familiar with that.
Yeah, that's a little over recent
it's
years.
Been a learning, it's been a learning, a very good learning experience for me.
Any other questions from council? I'd like to open it up to the public now if there's any questions or concerns. Anybody?
I have one question that I don't know. Somebody told me that if you build a seawall on the lake, you change your buffer. Does that make sense?
You build the seawall to give yourself more ground, so you would build it out here and then fill it in, and now
no,
I have more land?
No, something about containing, you know, where your property is in conjunction with the water by building the seawall. There was something going on with Lake Lanier that I thought I read about that had something to do with that. And then later on, I thought a house actually near his house used that same thing to build their house by building a seawall on the lake. No,
I'm not sure. I'm not so sure about that or how much that pertains. I don't know how relevant that is for this topic, but.
Well, in 1973, we have a seawall that we built out of railroad ties. And the one half of it now is now dirt. So the seawall's still there, but it's not, it's no longer applicable for the lake.
There's no sea.
No sea, okay. Linda?
Well, when I was still working in 2000, I retired in 2014 for Commissioner Tom Lowe, and Hertz Ferry, the creek, the setback was 25 feet. But that was creeks. I thought it was different. I haven't looked at their ordinances.
Pardon me, well,
I think their ordinances there are ours, so I don't really know how relevant their ordinances
are. Standard for safety, though.
Okay, thank you.
I was just curious. I heard Mr. Bixby saying he wasn't aware that City of Mountain Park had their own ordinances and that you had researched Fulton County's. Yes. So my question would be, would the construction that you've already done and planned to complete, would that meet Fulton County's
ordinances? I apologize. This is, unfortunately, we have a situation where the public really can't question the applicant for this. So I need to stop that. If you have a comment, that's one thing, but questions, that's the concern procedure.
No worries.
Okay, thank you.
Also, Bill, I don't know if everybody has this copy, but
you got a drawing of it. This is what we're talking about here, which is 46 feet, and this is questionable now because this area here is also starting to fill in.
Okay.
Anyway, that's
and we have that if you'd like.
Oh, okay, sure. I didn't know if y'all had this part.
Yeah, okay. And I believe there was a question back here. Do you have a question or a comment? I should say not a question, but a comment.
No,
Okay. Any other comments from the public?
I can make one more comment. A house three doors up from us built the exact same structure without a permit.
Okay.
Well.
So, I mean, I just found out when I started trying to figure out where did mine fit, how is mine going to fit?
To that fact, that really doesn't have any bearing of effect of your variance request and the decision of council for that request.
Sure.
One last one, Bill.
I just wonder if that house three is our house.
I'm sorry.
I think we'll be seeing you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. A topic for another day. At this point in time, I want to open up the council one last time, and then we'll say thank you so much for applying for the variance, and council will certainly do their diligence, and we'll be prepared for an answer next city council.
And thank you for providing all the dates.
Can I ask one other question now?
One other one, then we're going to have to move along.
Okay, well, this is all I need to know is that I have another court date, the 17th. So we would like to be able to go in to be able to explain, you know, what's going on, because this has been going on quite a while in the Mountain Park court date, so that might help.
Can I speak?
Absolutely, Logan.
So the court date still show up unless you hear otherwise from Jennifer Ryan, who is our city solicitor, or myself.
Yes.
But either way, if you do show up, they will be apprised of it is in the very
Thank you, everyone, for their input and their comments and the wonderful questions. Next up for appearances is Trish Hill with a sound panel update for the community building. Trish, floor is yours.
We had a civic club meeting last night, and I presented another third panel quote to to the Civic Club, and they were pleased with the amount, but I think that we're going to have a fundraiser in February to raise money to be sure to cover everything. So it is ongoing, it's just a little slower than I thought.
Understood, and I appreciate your efforts. Thank you for the update. Okay, with that said, I think we're finished with our appearances. Let's move on to some unfinished business that we have from previous meetings. And I think it's the discussion of the community building painting project, and I believe, Robin, that's yours?
It's mine, and here's what I have from you, right?
Okay.
I don't know, we want to use Angel, because obviously he's going to be less expensive than the $4,487 quote that we got. But I don't really have anything official in writing.
Right.
So I need to do an up to motion, and it's $2,000, including drywall repairs. Somewhere else, there's $1,000 for paint, but we get Sherwin-Williams is going to donate the first
$500 is coming from Sherwin-Williams.
So you're assuming it's going to cost approximately $2,500.
That is correct.
But we don't know if that's going to cover the repair or the paint of the rolling bar. Judge's seat, sorry.
The
bench, there you go.
This is something that was brought to my attention. Someone has volunteered to pay for a new bench that's a little more modern, a little less cumbersome.
Oh, man, I love that thing.
That's an offer. It doesn't have to be taken up on.
No, we take it.
But that's something that can be discussed further.
Before they rescind the offer.
Exactly. So that would be a moot point. And the other thing that is an add-on in speaking with Angel is the staining of these boards.
We have decided not to go with stain, you and Susan, because they're afraid that the green color, it will affect what the final color is.
Okay.
So if they're going to be painted.
They're going to be wet. Yeah. Robin, how are y'all going to treat them?
Paint.
And so, is it all going to be one shade?
I don't think so.
Okay.
We have two color palettes right now, and we just don't have the samples yet for the second. But you'll be seeing them before they're finalized. Okay. So should we do it up to 3,000 just to be on the safe side?
I would say that I'm pretty certain that by the time the meeting goes around, you'll have a bona fide sign something from Angel.
Okay. So if we do, then we're good for our council meeting. Perfect.
Yeah.
If we don't, I'll do an update. Okay.
Perfect.
Thank you. Okay.
No, thank you. Okay, great. Let's move on to new business. I believe this one is yours, Emily, the discussion of the MLK Day of Service.
Yes, this is, I'm speaking this to everyone. This was actually the idea of Hope May, so I do want to thank Hope for bringing this idea to my attention. As many of you all know, Monday is a national holiday in honor of the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. For many governments and businesses, this is a day off, but we would like to make it a day on for the city of Mountain Park. The core value of the quest for Dr. King's beloved community was agape love, which he described as understanding, redeeming goodwill for all, an overflowing love which is purely spontaneous, unmotivated, groundless, and creative. He said that agape does not begin by discriminating between worthy and unworthy people. It begins by loving others for their sakes, and it makes no distinction between a friend and an enemy. It is directed toward both. Agape is love seeking to preserve and create community. In the spirit of Dr. King's beloved community, we would like to establish Monday as a day of service to those who share our community. We are open to project ideas, but we really would like to extend the offer to people, residents who are in need, those residents that are a part of our beloved community. If you all can think of anyone in particular who may have a need for a crew of workers on Monday, we were thinking specifically of people who may have been impacted by the storms this week. They may have trees or limbs that need to be collected or raked up, leaves, any sort of lithium curing, falling off, anything that you can think of. If there is someone who is in need, we would love to get our group to their properties on Monday. this will be an ongoing thing. So, you know, if we get more demand and we have time for that particular day, we will be happy to make this a regular event. We're looking to do it between 2 and question mark. We'll go as long as we can that day. And we are looking for volunteers as well. In addition to actually going to property owners and helping individuals, we're also open to any city projects that you may have. But in the spirit of this day, we really thought we might help individuals who could truly use it. So open to any thoughts.
I had a citizen reach out to me yesterday, as a matter of fact, that their concerns are running wonderfully parallel to yours. Mm-hmm. So maybe afterwards I could share a name or two, and sure. I know where there's some help that's immediately needed, and we can discuss that.
Absolutely. But thank you. Thank you. Definitely come to me so that it can be sort of private who we're assisting. We only want to help. We certainly don't want to shine a light on anyone in particular, but we do want to help them. There will be an announcement out on the city app if council endorses this day and sanctions our first annual Martin Luther King Day service.
So that's Monday.
Yes.
And obviously we're not going to have a council meeting
exactly,
before
yes.
that. So how do we want to handle, how do we want to show support for that, assuming that's what we want to do, which I'd like to think that we will?
So we can't have an official vote, so mm-hmm. I'll just say I support that.
Thank you. Thank you. I sort of thought, you know, when we've done the flyer, for example, the council was made aware of the flyer, reviewed it, and just sort of approved it that exact way. So that was my hope.
Consensus.
Exactly. Consensus,
okay.
Yes.
So with that said, just as a side note for me personally, some of you have heard this before, it may be new to others. One of the things that was really important to me when the decision was made to run for mayor was to taking our community, which is an absolutely wonderful community, and getting us to use Jim's words to get us all pulled in the same direction and help each other out. I think to get to know your neighbor, to help your neighbor, I think that's absolutely wonderful. I'd like to have a village rather than a bunch of individual houses. And I think this is a great step towards that. I thank you for your efforts. Okay, great, thank you. The next one up, I assume this is you. Carol, discussion, or I apologize everyone for my informality. Councilperson Silver, discussion of applying for a solar panel grant.
Yeah, it's a grant from the Georgia Environmental Finance Authority, and I think lots of people are familiar out there, and I do not have all the answers, but it is an opportunity for the city. It's a really important grant application with the Georgia Environmental Finance Authority. They've secured $2.9 million from the Department of Energy for a competitive grant program. That means we're going up against other municipalities as well as tribes to be awarded. It shouldn't be confused with funding from the Environmental Energy. There's so many acronyms. The Environmental Energy Community Block Grant, which is for large cities. So this GIFA is a very small organization for small municipalities. Building Infrastructure Law allocated $1.2 trillion in total funding over 10 years. Our city would use maybe $30,000. It's just an idea. We've got to decide whether we're interested in applying for the grant. GIFA is going to be a lot more generous with point of sale rebates versus with this other one, residents paying up front and then applying. So applications are due April 30th. I'm interested in council trying just to make a decision about which way they want to go with this. They do have a reporting process and requirements webinar tomorrow. I am prepared to try to attend it. It's at 3 p.m., but I'm going to do my best. I did a lot of figuring here about the value of this grant, and you guys can see some of the mathematical calculations. I actually did it per capita because the expense has been a concern. Some of the options that we could consider is a commercial grade electric ride-on mower, along with all of the power tools like a weed whacker and a blower that share a common battery charger system. I happen to have a battery charged blower. I love it. It eliminates engine maintenance and fuel costs, reduces noise and air pollution. We've got a suggestion for that one. We've got a budget of about $5,000 to $7,000. Another idea would be to purchase a low-speed electric utility vehicle to replace our gas-powered, non-working golf cart for maintenance duties throughout the city and on public streets up to 35 miles per hour. Another idea is to replace the solar panel technology with a new system and have battery backup that'll keep City Hall running. It's got some savings built in, return on investment less than 5 years, and again, there's a budget for that. You guys have got the handout. And finally, the one that sounds really cool is to install an EV charging pedestal, but it would be limited to visitors to City Hall and for city staff golf carts, not for public use. It's pretty high-end budget, but it's a pretty cool grant. I think we've got some uses for it. I don't think it's too costly. And again, as always, I'm looking for that green communities certification, and this would very much fit in that. And that's pretty much it. I just need council to think about it. I think we may be bringing this up for a vote in February, correct? I think that was the decision. Because I will not be here physically present.
So not on Monday, just to be clear.
I know that. It's on January 27th.
No, I know. I'm saying it's not, I do not need to put it on the Monday agenda.
I feel like they need to process, and I know I'm going to need to get
some.
So thank you for the legwork. I'll give you 1 second, Emily. Thank you for the legwork. There's a lot here to digest,
yes,
and there's a lot of asks.
And some ideas.
And some ideas. What I would like to ask you to do is to, specifically, which one, two, or three, or all of them, I don't know, which one that you're interested in and think is obtainable. I think that needs to be presented to council for our digestion. I think we need to seek the help of Lourdes to help do a rate of returns, this, that, the other. So an intelligent conversation can be had with all the facts and figures in front of us. And then council can decide if it's something that they want to move forward with, or they're interested in this one, but not that one.
Yes.
The realization,
yes,
the ramifications, and the rippling effects,
yes,
the ancillaries, the maintenance cost to repair the panels, the maintenance cost to keep them clean.
They would need to be built
into
this.
So we need to bundle all that in before we go one step further.
Yes.
Is this something we want to do? So if I can ask you to do that, what's the ask and what's the cost?
So I think really this comes down to the route that we want to take to do it, and ultimately it's up to council to decide whether they even want to pursue this grant.
Yep.
That's really what this is all about. These four projects are suggestions. I believe there are others that are available.
Emily?
To Bill's point, thank you for the overview of all four that are available. My understanding was that number three was the one that it's been recommended that we start with number three. Part of that is because that's the one that would keep the city running in the case of a power failure. It would also help resolve the issues with the broken, defunct solar panels that are currently on the roof of City Hall.
It makes me sad to see broken solar panels on the roof of City Hall.
Right, so that my understanding was that we've been encouraged to start there, and I understand that you and Robin have both done some research on this, and I wondered if either of you could share a little bit more about number three, especially so that the residents can understand. We've been given some information on this. We've had a chance to digest it, but I'm not sure that everyone in the room is quite as comfortable with what we're discussing. So,
right,
Carol or Robin, if you could clarify just a bit.
I just wanted to explain what number three is.
Yes.
I want to show everybody you which one was.
It's a low-speed electric utility I'm sorry. You're right. I'm wrong. Replacing the entire solar panel technology with a new system and it adding a battery backup, and it will keep City Hall running in the event of a power failure.
Thank you. I just want to make sure everybody
knows. Sure. No. Good point.
So we've got a solar panel system. It's non-functional and it does not have a battery.
And Jen, I'll get to you when we open it up for further comment conversation. I want to address the council first, please. Emily, are you?
I'm finished.
Okay,
yes,
thank you.
Yes, so my main question is, I read the document the consultant sent us about the grants, and I know you dug a lot deeper on this. My understanding is there's 2.9 million, the only money available now, and it's not even available yet.
Right.
It's $2.9 million for the entire state. And that money is going to be given on competitive grants to small and disadvantaged communities. So I'm trying to, you know, do my Las Vegas odds kind of, okay.
Yeah.
And to Emily and Robin's point, it's like a couple thousand dollar investment we'd have to probably pay a grant writer, we think, to write this. So I'm trying to evaluate how likely is it that we're certainly small, but I don't think we pass disadvantaged.
The SNIP
plus the guidelines and the deadlines aren't out yet. So I think maybe by February we'll have good answers for this about what this might look like and how many people might be bidding on this to determine if it's worth us investing $2,000 or $3,000 for the bid. The biggest question I had, though, is this $1.2 trillion. I've been led to believe that $1.2 trillion is something else for somebody else and doesn't apply to us.
Okay. Well, that is a quotation from a source.
And that's my ignorance. So.
No, it's not. It's really, it gets kind of confusing.
It is.
I always want to bilateral. That's
it's the bipartisan infrastructure law.
Is one big, huge bunch of money that's been appropriated. And then that has been broken down into different sections, transportation, arts. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on and on and on. 400 pages worth of going on. Now it's trickling down to Georgia, to the states. So GEFA,
Georgia Environmental Finance,
EECVG, and GEFA somehow are affiliated. One administers the grant, the other one gets the money. I think GEFA gets the money, so it's trickled down now. Mm-hmm. Georgia got $2.9 million of the BIL, and it's now trickled down to cities, local cities. And Carol, the April 30th deadline has been extended.
Good.
That's the federal part of this grant. Okay. We're not applying for the federal.
Right, that would be the EECB
guidelines for this have not dropped yet.
So the pot, so I was correct, the pot of money we're actually trying to go after is 2.9.
Yes, that is correct.
Thank
you're
for
right.
That
so you just ruined my whole argument. Yeah. No, I'm not kidding.
Okay.
So the reason I was initially interested is because we got this grant back in 2009, 2011, $300,000. And that's how we got the geothermal heating, that's how we got the solar panels.
We got homes in the community that were
in that grant, the homeowners were involved. So 80 homes got free energy audits, 65 homes got spray foam insulation.
Matching funds.
Fire department got a new HVAC, civic building got a new HVAC. It was fabulous. But what has happened is the technology was not good. It quit working in 2016.
12.
2016, and it's because microinverters went out. And it's silly to repair those for $2,000, in my opinion, when we could spend that $2,000 to potentially get new ones. That was my interest. Golf carts and all that, cool, but I'm not sure we can really justify that. Justifying solar panels, I don't know. The payback is not good. Karen, talked to Karen last night, and she said that we never really got any money back. You know how you're supposed to sell your power to BMC or something? Really nothing. So I don't know. We still have some things to really think about. And the point of sale rebates, not going to be part of the grant this time. Okay. It's going to be a separate program where homeowners can go ahead and
They were developing a voucher program.
And they get the rebate up front. Previously, the city had to pay for everything, right? And then got the money back after filing all that paperwork.
Robin, thank you for that clarification.
Yes, thank
you. I would ask that, Carol, that maybe you can reach out to Robin just to make sure that we're kind of on the same page with what we can and can't do, what the amounts are, and then just present to council. And I appreciate your efforts on doing this.
Jamie, I think you had a question.
I was just going to suggest, I mean, as a member of the community, if this is something that we're going to have any kind of input on, it'd be nice to have a cost-benefit analysis done for each of the options so we can look at actual data and make an informed decision.
That's something that I've asked Carol, and I've also asked Lourdes to help break down what the repair bills have been, just so we can get a digestive financial analysis of what that is. And again, I want to put in all the extras, the repairs, the maintenance of reserve to repair these things. Sure.
That should be a standardized process for anything.
Absolutely. So thank you for that comment and input. Okay, anything else on that one? Next up for new business is the discussion of water rate increase of 2.5% from Cobb County Water to our city. That's a fee that there's nothing that we can do about it. We're going to keep water running through our taps. I think the discussion and comments need to be, what are we doing with that rate increase internally and then externally to the city and to the citizens and what we're doing with that? Anybody have take a swipe at this? Any comments? Pass it through.
You have attached, I did attach our current water rates for everyone, just in case you guys don't know what we actually bill.
Yeah.
So that way you can do the math as far as what is the pass-through. I didn't do it because I didn't have time, I'm sorry.
One of the things that that's just important to me that we look at these items and some of the things in the past we haven't passed on to the residents, and some things we have. So the decision and discussion needs to be had by council what to do with this. So does anyone want to take this on our meeting?
Sure.
Emily?
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
Am I correct in my memory that we did pass it through last year, the year before, and maybe even the year before that we did not? Is that about right? About right?
Ish. Okay, we can certainly, Emily, that's something you probably want to look into.
I'll
okay, thanks. Okay, the other bit of new business is the discussion of the LMIG project for the 2024 application. Just as a reminder, the 2022 LMIG funds were applied for and approved for Laurel Street, and it took a little time to get that project started. In the meantime, our bridge across Russell Road Bridge came into some needing some funding for some repair work. And as a side note, they are set to go. We're supposed to have a pre-construction meeting sometime in the next 7 to 14 days. So we're moving forward there. But it's basically, we agreed and voted on it internally to take those reappropriated funds from the 22 LMIG funds, to take them to the 24 LMIG funds and apply them to the Laurel Street project, and I'm rounding math, so please correct me. We're approximately $14,000. What is it?
$13,119.88 is earmarked for Mountain Park through the LMIG funds for GDOT.
The timing on this is pretty appropriate, and the reason I say that is I spent the past yesterday, a couple hours with George. And we drove around to what I would consider some of the hot spots and some of the problematic areas in and around Mountain Park. And Laurel Street is riddled with a lot of issues and problems with regards to drainage, where it is going, where it's not going, potholes. And the big thing is it's a problem that's coming down onto the ancillary streets and going down the hill into our creeks, filling those up into the pond, into the lakes, etc. So we've all talked about that, we know. So I think that it's appropriate that we get this looked at in the application, applied for and approved, and we can begin working on one of our biggest deficiencies from the erosion standpoint. I think Linda had her hand up first.
I will tell you about the Laurel Front. Now see, I did remember off Birmingham Highway, Wood Road has this treatment. They gravel the road first, they clean it, gravel it, get it even, and then
if I can respectfully interrupt you, I think what we're trying to do is see if we want to make the application for the Laurel Street. And I think
the thing is, my way is cheaper, and I'm
respectful to that, and I'm interrupting you. But once we know that the application is voted on and approved, that is the wonderful time to have that conversation of options and alternatives available to us rather than putting down a bunch of gravel or a bunch of concrete. But right now, the main thing is this what we want to do by what we've already said that we're going to do and reapply for the 2024 funds to replenish the 22 funds that were taken from the bridge back to where they originally came from.
Okay, can I do this before you all commit to 14,000?
We're not committing to anything.
Wait a minute. Because I want to go through with this and bring it up again. Jim remembers what I did. And it lasts forever. And you only have to treat it about every 2 or 3 years.
Again,
but it's gravel. You know, with the water coming down, I 100%,
I 100% agree with you. And I, again, respectfully interrupting you for the last time.
But I know, but
that we will
me,
discuss what we're going to do and how we're going to do it when that time's appropriate. Right now, I don't feel that time's appropriate.
Well,
I think what is appropriate is that we figure out what we're going to do.
I need to present my plan before.
You will be given that opportunity when it comes before another work session and another council meeting. I assure you that.
I'll get it together.
Okay. And I apologize because council should have been asked for the remarks first. So
I remember Linda's project, and I'll fill everybody in, okay? Okay. You know about it.
Thank you.
I do, yes.
Thank you, Robin.
Okay.
I just want to know what LMIC stands for.
Local Maintenance Improvement Grant. I looked it up today. I got it online from GDOT today.
Any other questions or comments from council, and then we'll make a real quick comment.
Just as a reminder, council, this is due February 1st, so a decision has to be made on January 22nd. We cannot push this.
Thank you.
Yeah, use it or lose it.
Yes.
Okay, so that will not happen. But thank you for the refresh.
Yeah.
As a result of the coal filling in rapidly, I have identified a method to remove the silt so we can do ourselves. And it's done when they did the 400 interchange. There's lakes there in some of the corporate places that have silted in. Well, simple. There's a boat about double the size of these tables. It has a pump on it that pulls the silt out, and it's put to a place of the city's discerning. Much cheaper than having someone.
And I appreciate you bringing that to our attention. Just as a side note, I've been discussing with three separate companies that same technology for our lake. So it's a wonderful option, and we're just trying to, versus the old drain the lake and dig it out and haul it away. So yes, thank you very much for that. We are aware of that.
You can see it in action.
Yes, absolutely. So maybe we'll talk offline about that a little bit. Okay. We can do that when the time we get to the time appropriate for that. Okay, any other things? I think we're finished with this. I would like to, I have a little cheat sheet here. Unless anyone else has anything to be discussed, I'm going to ask everyone to enjoy the rest of their evening. Thank you for your participation. Please spread the word. The more, the merrier at these meetings. This is our city.
I need a motion to go into executive session.
That's
first.
Coming.
I make a motion to go into executive session.
It's the motion.
Okay, for well, what purpose? Okay, your cheat sheet is wrong.
Yes.
That's okay. Okay, we need to, do I have a second?
Second.
Can we take a vote? All those in favor, show of hands. Those opposed, let the record show it stood unanimously in favor of. Now I can say thank you very much for your time. Thank you. Please reach out to your neighbors. Let's get some more participation in these meetings. This is our city, and we is what makes our city work. Have a good evening. Thank you. And stay well.
Good job.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Okay. Hey. Motion to go back to the regular council.
I make a motion that we go back into regular session.
Do I have a second? I have
second.
A second. All in favor? All opposed? Let the record reflect. It was a unanimous vote. Although, let's see. The motion passes. We're not back in regular session. The regular session has adjourned. Have a great night. Thank you so much.
Motion to adjourn.